Today's talk is called Getting to Know You. In other words, who and what are we? Getting to know it, and how do we find out who that is? And Imelda Shanklin is the one that has the first two quotes there. And she talks about how she would walk up to people and say, what are you? And they would say, oh, I'm Joe so-and-so, and I am an accountant. And they would go into the who of who they were instead of the what of who they were. And she believed, and I agree with her, that our problems come when we only see ourselves as who we are as opposed to what we are. So last week I was talking about the laws of cause and effect and that we do have spiritual laws. And when we look at cause and effect, we can say, oh, you know, this happened to me. And if I look back in my history, I might see that I did this, and that's what caused it to happen. When we think of cause and effect, or we think of karma, a lot of times we think of it only in the negative, but it's also working in the positive. So as I am loving and generous and compassionate, I have others in my life that are loving, generous, and compassionate. If I feel like I need to run and fix everybody, and I'm probably going to attract a lot of people that need to be fixed until I'm worn out from that, until I learn to love and respect them and simply encourage them. If I believe that people are doing things to me, I'm not getting that they're actually doing things through me because of the stories I held about what just happened. So to the unenlightened, and that's what Neville says, to the unenlightened, when something happens, it looks like it's just chance. Like, oh my gosh, life is out of control. You think things are going well, and then all of a sudden, bang, you're hit by something. But that's not really how it works. So everything that happens is trying to wake us up so that we begin to see our part in everything. We begin to see what we really are, that we are that I am, that we are that creative energy, and that whatever story we lay upon that energy, it's going to be pushed out in front of us, and it's going to come as an experience. But if we don't catch it, we will always feel like a victim, even of what goes right. Because we know that if something goes right, then something can also go wrong because we don't know why any of it's happening. Therefore, you better enjoy it now because something bad is probably going to happen. We call it the other shoe is going to drop. But the more we get to know who and what we really are, the more the fear begins to go away. The more that we stop thinking of ourselves as physical being with a very short span of life here, and instead as spiritual being with eternal life. That's a totally different perspective. Totally. When we believe that we are a soul that cannot be harmed and that cannot actually harm another, that's totally different than believing we are a personality that somebody hurt our feelings. One is a very scary lower vibration to live in, and the other one is where we connect and begin to trust. We begin to trust that it's all okay. So even in Imelda Shanklin, when she says, the error in your mind that causes you to assume the who when you should recognize the what is the source of every misunderstanding that perplexes you. And even her opening one where she's talking about we're just souls struggling to remember. We're trying to remember who we are, what's our real identity. And she, because of the time that she's writing this, said that you are the living son of the living God. That's because that's what they all said. It was all very patriarchal. So I put in parentheses the offspring, or you could say the individual expression, or some people feel more comfortable saying the child. But that what God is what you are. That you are the actual expression of that. And you are therefore exactly the same as that. You are creator creative energy and creation. You're all three of it all the time. But the confusion of time and our experiences here makes us forget that, and we get so caught up in the illusion that we forget what we really are underneath it. And so when we begin looking at the experiences in front of us, we can feel as if somebody's done something to us, or we can say, let me go through my memory and see if there's a match that I did that same thing to somebody else in a different way, and I didn't get what they were feeling. And I needed this experience so I could get what it felt like. And what if we're being shaped by getting it? What if we're being shaped all the time? My cat is like 22 years old now. And until Mark came into my life, my cat every night felt she could come and go, make all kinds of noise, knock things off the nightstand. If any of you have a cat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? So I thought the solution would be close the door. But so we would close the door. And the cat would just meow, meow at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hit the door, bump the door, bump the door. So I think dogs do things like this too. Yeah. So anyway, Mark, because of his background in social work, said, we need to shape her differently. There needs to be consequence. The door is closed. She's meowing outside the door. This was like having a baby all over again, letting him cry. You know, it's like, oh my God, I can't let the baby cry. So he would just get up very quietly, pick her up, and take her down and put her in a little room for 10 minutes. And the next night when she did it, same thing. No anger, no nothing. Just down to the room, 10 minutes. After about 4 nights, she got that there was an effect to what she was doing. And so now she would come and she would just sit outside the door quietly until we opened it in the morning. Just a different cat. Sometimes when she couldn't help herself, she'd go off to the other side of the house and meow. And you could hear her. But she knew you didn't do it outside the door. Okay? So that's what shaping is. And I think when we're trying to wake up to who we are, we're kind of being shaken. And we're being shaped by understanding that what we do to others, positive and negative, we are actually doing to ourselves because we're all one. There isn't the other. The same creative mind that can tell a person a story that you are poor and broken and awful is the same creative mind that you can say you are wonderful, and life is good, and all possibilities exist. It's exactly the same material. Does that make sense to you? It's exactly the same. One doesn't have more God mind than the other God mind, okay? We all are shaping exactly the same mind within us. And when we do that, we're shaping the experience. But it's so important to learn that about ourselves, to get that. To stop responding to another personality as if they're causing something to happen in our lives, and instead say, hey, guess what? I figured it out. We're all in a classroom together, and we're all learning through our experiences with one another, and we don't need them to get it. We need ourselves to get it. We need to take that finger that points at, you did this to me, and bring it back to, I caused this in my life. Now we're talking about not as a child, not as when you're coming in here and somebody is actually being abusive to you. But what we are looking at about that childhood is to remember we are eternal. We chose to come in here. We chose to come in to this particular group dynamic. We came in to change something in this world. We came in to soften hearts. We came in to learn compassion and to be compassionate. We have a purpose here. We went to D.W. and Sean's wedding reception on Friday night, and it was like the first thing I had to say before I did the blessing, which they asked me to do, was to say, thank you for blessing us and teaching us that we live in a very loving, compassionate world, that it's ever-changing. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for being authentic and real and not hiding who you are. Getting to know ourselves means no longer hiding who we are. The path to flow is to go with the flow of who we are, to do what it is we love to do, to be in situations that we love with people that we love, and to actually stop spending our energy on things that we don't love. It's about being honest with who we are, and if others cannot accept it, are not enlightened enough, that are living in a story of the social self, of what life's supposed to look like, then so be it. Because we are really shaking it up. We are really shaping ourselves to see that there are no rules written down anywhere on the soul. There is nothing written on us. We are pure creative energy. And when we live in small stories, we live in a small world. As we expand our own story and understand who we are, we expand the world. Cause and effect. My getting to know who I am, you getting to know who you are, seeing yourself not as a victim, but instead as one with God, as one with creative energy, as one with your source. That's all Jesus was trying to teach, metaphysical teacher. The Father and I are one. Very clear. He was just saying, what God is, I am. We're the same thing. I got it. And you think that I am creating miracles, and you think that this is just something just happening through one special person. And he was trying to say, these things and greater will you do when you get it. He was just a metaphysical teacher, and people did a lot of other stuff with it and put him on a pedestal. And as we all know, it seems like everybody we put on pedestals falls off for somebody somewhere. It's just this thing where personalities want to knock people off. Watch our news. You mess up and we put you on the pedestal, you are in big trouble now. Uh-oh. I think Harry just fell off his pedestal. We've been putting Harry on a pedestal a lot lately because we're so happy with him helping with the sound. I'm sorry, Harry, we'll never put you on a pedestal again. So waking up to who we are doesn't just help us. It helps everyone, everywhere. When we stop acting like victims, we don't need abusers. When we understand that we've written stories and that we lived in stories for a long time, but we don't beat up on ourselves for the stories. We shouldn't be compassionate, try to be compassionate with others when we can't even be compassionate with ourselves. Everything is inside to outside. Everything's coming through you. There's not a lack of love coming through you. There's just the barriers within us to that love. There never was a thing called race till we made up a story about it. There never was an inequality between the sexes until we made up a story about it. And we have countries living and people believing in things that aren't even real until all of you came in. Until a lot of us came in and said, we are done with the stories. We are ready to really bring love to this earth through us by first loving ourselves and deciding that we are valuable enough that we don't have time for the games. We don't have time for guilt. We don't have time for shame. We don't have time for living small and pretending we're something that we're not. We inspire others by being ourselves, but we do it for ourselves first. That's why everything has changed. We begin talking about our experiences instead of being silent. And when we began talking, so many people said, oh my gosh, that is my story too. I never did have the artificial story. I was hiding from you. I was hiding myself. The Garden of Eve. What do Adam and Eve do when they finally find they have choice? They go and hide themselves from God. They're hiding themselves from themselves. Everything that happens is shaking us and waking us to understanding more and more who we are. And getting to know yourself is the best adventure that's going on here. Thank you very much.